Day 456, Sunday, June 30th, Hosea 11 and 12. Hosea 11, 1-12 NKJV. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals, and burned incense to carved images. Taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them, because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me, my sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God, and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. Hosea 12, 1-14 NKJV. Ephraim feeds on the wind, and pursues the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation. Also they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried to Egypt. He Lord also brings a charge against Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept, and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us, that is, the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand, he loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich, I have found wealth for myself, in all my labors they shall find in me no iniquity that is sin. But I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the appointed feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and have multiplied visions, I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Though Gilead has idols, surely they are vanity, though they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal. Indeed their altar shall be heaps in the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the country of Syria. Israel served for a spouse, and for a wife he tended sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore his Lord will leave the guilt of his blood shed upon him, and return his reproach upon him. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG Reading Plan states, Chapter 11 begins the description of Israel's restoration as a result of God's immense love for his people. God had specially chosen Israel as his son. Hosea 11, 1, Exodus 4, 22-23, Genesis 12, 2-3, Hosea 11, 1 also had a dual fulfillment, as it foretold Jesus, God's literal son, returning from a period of exile with his family in Egypt as a child. Matthew 2, 1315. The first few verses of Hosea 11 show the sadness of Israel's behavior. It is God who has consistently taught them, been kind to them and fed them, but they were too blind to recognize his love. Lifting the yoke off their neck is a reference to lifting the yoke away from the face of an ox so that it might eat more comfortably. Bent down to feed them presents a beautiful picture of God's gracious condescension in his loving provision for his undeserving people. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on verse 4. Verse 5 appears to contain another mistranslation in the New King James Version. Rather than stating that Israel shall not return to Egypt, the verse, it seems, should be a question, since we see Israel returning from Assyria and Egypt in verse 11. Verse 5 is apparently correct in the New International Version. Will they not return to Egypt and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A number of other translations convey the same sense. Thus, Israel's failure to respond to God's great love would result in their captivity by Assyria, with some of them going to Egypt. Therefore, their plans for survival wouldn't be of any benefit. Yet, in his great love for Israel, God asks, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? He asks himself if he can make Israel like Admah and Zeboim, B8, cities overthrown with Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 10:19, Genesis 14:2, 8, Deuteronomy 29 hours and 23 minutes. The answer, as we saw also in Amos 9, 8, is, thankfully, no, B9. Notice this from the Dictionary of Bible Imagery. Perhaps the most striking use of heart in the Bible is in reference to God. Genesis 6, 6, 8, 21. The usage is similar to that applied to humankind and should be a reminder that we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26, 27. God, after all, is a personal being who thinks, feels, desires and chooses. One of the most intriguing passages in this connection is found in Hosea 11. The prophet quotes God as saying that, while he will indeed punish Israel for their rebellion, he will not completely destroy them. The decision to refrain from their utter destruction was not easy. It was the result of God's inner turmoil. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor devastate Ephraim again. Hosea 11, 8, 9 NIV. In the verse that follows, God justifies his change of mind on the basis of his divinity. Humankind, when angered, is naturally inclined toward a course of destruction of those who offend. But God is divine, not human, so his grace wins out. Heart, page 369. Though God will tear them as a lion, Hosea 13, 7, 8, punishing them in order to bring them to their senses, his final roar will not be to destroy them. Rather, he, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5, 5, will roar with an earth-shaking sound to summon his people back to their land. Hosea 11, 10. Included in their physical return is their spiritual return to their duty to God under his covenant. These verses, says the Expositor's Bible commentary, are like a window into the heart of God. They show that his love for his people is a love that will never let them go. Like the beautiful final chapter of the book, these verses look forward, beyond the chastisement of the immediate future, to the time, still distant, when Israel will truly return to her God and he will bless her once more. Ultimately, it must be the millennial kingdom that is finally in view here. No other period in Israel's history, past or prospective, fits the picture. Note on verse 8, then, notice, his sons shall come trembling from the west, from Egypt, and Assyria, verses 10-11. While Egypt is located to the southwest of the land of Israel, Assyria was located to the northeast, and yet Assyria is the primary place of captivity. How do we explain this? The answer must be that this is a reference to Israel's return from end-time captivity. Indeed, the northern kingdom of Israel never returned to dwell in the Holy Land in the past, yet they will in the future, this time from the land of modern Assyria, which, as we will delve more into when we later read Isaiah 10, apparently lies in the heart of Europe, to the northwest of the land of Israel. The Israelites, then, will indeed return from the west, from both Europe and Egypt. Also, as explained in the next highlight on Hosea, modern Israelites may today be found in, among a few other places, North America and Northwest Europe, including the British Isles. N. Putting, Jeremiah 31, 8, KJV, together with other verses, see Isaiah 41, 1, 8, 9, 49, 1, 3, 12. It appears that some Israelites will also return from these homelands at this time, i.e., those who will have managed to avoid deportation, yet will have nonetheless suffered along with the rest of the modern descendants of Israel under European invasion and occupation. These come from the west also, and, from all of these places, trembling like a bird following their horrendous ordeal. Hosea 11, 11, the children of Israel will at last be humbled and ready to serve and obey their great God, finally able to experience the fullness of his graciousness, love and generosity. God's charge against Israel and Judah, Hosea 11, 12, is connected to the start of chapter 12. The prophecy now reverts to the previous theme of Israel's sins. At this time, it appears that Judah was still following God, which may indicate that this part of the prophecy was written during the revival under Judah's faithful king, Hezekiah. In any case, Hosea apparently uses this as a contrast to Israel's unfaithfulness. However, it should be noted that the meaning of verse 12 is not entirely certain. While most translations agree with the New King James Version that Judah here walks with God, the New International Version translates it as against God, presumably because God has a charge against Judah in 12:2. Yet it may simply be that God knew Judah's faithfulness would be short-lived, just as it always had been. In any event, we are immediately informed that Ephraim, again, the leading tribe of Israel and representative of the entire northern kingdom, Feeds on the Wind, verse 1. Ecclesiastes offers one of the most memorable series of wind images, as the preacher pronounces one after another sphere of human activity meaningless, a mere chasing after the wind. The image, used repeatedly in a kind of refrain, Ecclesiastes 1:14, 17 NIV, etc., expresses the monotonous futility of going after something and finding it to be nothing at all, like trying to capture the wind in one's hands. What does any human being gain, the preacher asks, since he toils for the wind? Ecclesiastes 4:15 NIV Wind, Dictionary of Bible Imagery, page 951. We are also told that Ephraim pursues the east wind, Hosea 12:1. Jameson, Fawcett and Brown's commentary says this refers to the simoon, blowing from the desert east of Palestine. Note on Hosea 12:1. Indeed, an east wind comes from the east and blows west. And yet when did Ephraim, or the rest of the northern tribes, go west? Their captivity carried them east. Since this prophecy is apparently for our day, these words would seem to be a clue from God to help us in locating the modern descendants of Israel. From other historical sources, it is evident that some time after Israel's Assyrian captivity, they finally broke free of their slavery and began migrating west into Europe, eventually reaching Northwest Europe. As surprising as it may sound to many, the people of Britain, the United States and other democracies of Northwest Europe constitute many of the modern descendants of Israel. See our free booklet The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy to learn more. Hosea 12:3 refers to contrasting actions of Jacob. Jacob struggled with his twin brother Esau in the womb. Genesis 25 hours and 26 minutes, signifying the greedy, manipulative character he would demonstrate later in life. And yet later, after years of trial and learning the error of his ways, Jacob finally came to wrestle with God, recognizing his total dependence on God's blessing, thus being renamed Israel. Genesis 32 hours and 25 minutes 29. The nation of Israel should likewise have been striving with God to live up to its name and be blessed instead of chasing the wind. It was at Bethel, verse 4, that God confirmed the blessing already promised. Genesis 35:1-15. Indeed, Bethel is where the true God spoke, not the false gods later worshipped here by a rebellious people. And the same true God would again bless the nation of Israel if it would only have the properly directed tenacity of Jacob. This idea is further expanded in verse 12 with the reference to Jacob's endurance in waiting for Rachel. Hosea instructs Israel, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. Micah, writing around this same time, says basically the same thing. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6:8. And much later, Jesus Christ referred to these essential qualities of character as the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith, Matthew 23:23. Thus, true faith constitutes waiting on God and walking humbly with Him. Yet God views Israel as a Canaanite because of his sins. Hosea 12:7. But Israel says, surely I have become rich, I have found wealth for myself, in all my labors they shall find in me no iniquity, that is sin. Verse 8. This is a very dangerous attitude. And yet, incredible though it is, many even in God's true church are pictured as adopting the same basic philosophy at the end of the age, saying, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, unaware that, spiritually, they are actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3:17. May we all ask God for the discernment to see ourselves as He sees us, and repent accordingly. Comma and